Hallelujah. Amen. It's our school of prayer again today, and we are going to go into instruction with the word, and then we use the word to pray. So, as usual, we are going to take our declaration of understanding. If there's anybody here who doesn't know it by heart, can you wave your hand quickly? That's how deliverance comes. Okay, everybody knows it by heart, so prove it to me by allowing me to hear your voice, all right? Now I want to let's go. Now I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Please take your seats. Now let me open today's teaching from an interesting portion of the scriptures. The book of Luke chapter 16. There's a concept there. Everybody say something. Just repeat this after me. Say, it's all about faith.
It's all about faith.
Say that again.
It's all about faith.
Now say another thing. Say, it's all about my faith.
It's all about my faith.
Yeah, bear that in mind. It's very important. Let me just remind us of this story in the scriptures. Peter walked on water. Then he was walking, and then he began to sink. And when he began to sink, what did Jesus ascribe his sinking to? Can you remind me? He said, "Why did you doubt?" Very good. The Lord did not at any point infer that sinking was because water was dangerous. So I keep on repeating that. The Lord never inferred that the reason Peter sank was because water was dangerous, and water normally couldn't carry anybody's weight. Which means, anytime you sink in the face of any adversity, it's not the adversity. It is, why did you doubt? You ask them at other times, where is your faith? The time they were on the boat, and everybody was, he said, where is your faith? Where did you keep it? And people keep faith in different things. For example, you're in a car, you can keep your faith in the brand. Did you hear what I said? You can keep your faith in the brand. This German machine doesn't fail. Where is your faith? Where did you keep your faith? One day, a man, he and I were talking, this was long, he wouldn't say that now. He came from somewhere in Western Nigeria to come and do something in Enugu. One of my senior colleagues. And I was talking about Nigeria. And I said, sir, now, and you'll be surprised the way this country works. Nigeria is a very funny country, all right? If you're listening to us from somewhere else, Nigeria is a very interesting country. This was long before there was no kidnapping in Nigeria at all at that time. Bandits, was not the way we know it now. So I asked the man, and he drove. I mean, when you check the distance, even though it's not Lagos, it's as far as driving from Lagos. And he's a big man. And he drove himself in his own car. So I told him, I said, sir, is this good? Why did you come by air? He said, I can't fly in this country. It's too dangerous. Where was his faith? Just listen. I said, but the road is also, the car could break down. It showed he was driving a German car, that this is why he drives this particular car. I said, what about armed robbers? Growing into armed robbers. It's not legal, but he showed me his firearm. I said, sir, do you have a license for that? He said, does a thief have a license for his own? And I remember I said to myself, you have no faith. No, I said, sir, in my mind, I didn't say this to him. Don't be telling your seniors things like that, unless you're a real prophet. But I said in my heart to him, because I'm not a prophet like that. Says, sir, you need a lot of faith. That is, But at that time, me, I didn't have a gun. I still don't have one. If I needed to do, it was long ago. I didn't have money to be jumping into planes, but if I did, I jumped into it. Anybody give me an opportunity then? I entered the plane. Why would I be on the road for 8 hours when I can do it in 1 hour? Do you get my point? But I remember I said, sir, so you are the one that will protect yourself. This great distance, he said, that's why he has a very good car. And the car was quite good. Very good one. Very good. What about it? He said, that's why he has a gun. Everything, basically, I can take care of myself. That was what Jesus meant when he said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And that's one question we have to ask ourselves a lot of times. You know, in fact, maybe someone should be helping me write my questions down. One, where are you? Two, what are you doing here? Three, where is your faith? Questions that the Lord asks people. Where is your faith? Many people, their faith is in a country. My faith is not in Nigeria. I live here, but my faith is not here. Do you know, any time I hear of economic calamity or difficulty, I read the news, you hear it. I'm not saying I like it, hearing the news, but I actually follow what James said. I count it all joy. I start praying. And that's what I'm talking about today. And we're going to use to pray. The Lord taught me something. It was the Holy Spirit teaching me, I know. I'm not allowed to make panic decisions. There are things we learn by revelation. There are things we learn by revelation born, no, revelation taught by experience. Do you hear what I said? That is, you know it too, but you are not practicing it because experience has not drilled it into you. Like they say, knowledge, that the soul cannot imbibe knowledge until it requires it. There's a way they explained it. Circumstances are good for you. They teach you things you thought you knew. That thing now becomes real. What am I saying? Personally, when I tell you that the Lord taught me not to make panic decisions, you know why? How I learned it. Even though I know the doctrine in scripture, but I made those panic decisions a few times and they failed terribly. Do you follow my point? So if you tell me now that tomorrow, fuel is going to be 2,500 naira a liter. Right, today is 890. Most places in Enugu. Do you understand? Okay. Do you know what I would do? I'll just drive home like I didn't hear you. Especially, now, if I'm driving home, like, get my point, and there's a filling station on the way, and I need fuel, I'll buy. But usually at such times, what do you find at such filling stations? Answer me. There's a long queue. Thus says the Lord, Banky, never join that queue. I will drive past it. Maybe I have a space for like 50 liters in my vehicle. Yet I will drive past this, drive home, and park. He has made it clear to me through many experiences with the word. Don't make panic decisions. I've done it a number of times, and the Holy Spirit had gone. Now, this has never happened, okay? But something like that has happened. But just to use an illustration with this fuel thing. If I rush into a filling station like that, buy fuel and queue and say, why are you here? Tomorrow, the price is going to more than double. No, what God will just do to me. He said, no problem, buy it. When I finish buying it, one way or the other, I will have queued on a pump that has a faulty underground reservoir that water has leaked into the line and they will have discharged for me. Instead of 50 liters of fuel, I'll have gotten 45 liters of fuel and 5 liters of water. See that all that fuel that I bought is today chuku that we're losing the... when I said, this car was running smoothly yesterday. Then I'll call him. He'll come. Sir, there's fuel inside though. There's water inside the... He said, what do we do? Say, thank God it hasn't spoiled anything, but we can drain it. Then you see your expensive fuel being wasted. At such times, I usually look for the angel that did the job. Say, come, let me and you settle. I said, no, I was just obeying the Lord. The Lord has taught me, don't ever make panic decisions. And that's one way. It's not just today. For a long time, I've not lost money the way people lose money in a lot of things. Buy land, buy land, buy land. The price is about to go through the roof. Let me tell you, one day I was in the office. I was a resident doctor in Lagos that time. And my consultant rushed into our office. Said, everybody, get up. I said, what's happening, sir? Go to staff clinic now. Go and take your vaccine. Against what? There was some outbreak of meningitis. He said, this particular outbreak is deadly. Once it catches you like this, you're dead. So my colleagues got up, left what they were doing, and decided to stroll to the staff clinic. And I sat down squarely, I continued what I was doing. I said, Bank, are you not coming? I said, no. They said, why? I said, it would be a sin for me to hear news of meningitis and rush to go and get protection. I said, tell meningitis. I said, meningitis should hear my name and go and take a vaccine. I refuse to get up. But I was full of faith. Look, I think those days. I refuse to get up. Now, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not somebody that doesn't like vaccines. But that day, I was just offended. I said, well, for goodness sake. It was the way the man entered. Hey, go. I said, I'm not going. Meningitis, come. Let's see who will die. Me or you. And I was working in a hospital where it was supposed to increase the risk. I said, I'm not moving. And my reason was that my spiritual sense was offended that I will get up because I heard of meningitis. What will meningitis now do when he hears of me? Tell meningitis, Bank is in the office. He had better get away from these premises. The Lord taught me over time not to make panic decisions. You know the truth? They don't work at the end of the day. At least, let me not make it look general. For me, they don't work. For me, I don't want to start telling you stories. The number of times, how I learned these things. They don't work. I tell the Lord, see, that fuel thing as an example. She is fuel. Let's be honest, it is not fuel, it's money. Do you get my point? Where I was spending maybe 10,000 before, it will now become 25,000. That's what the issue is. Is that not so? So I look up and say, Lord, please, can you increase the allowance? Let me explain. I have children, okay? I give them money. Some of them I give allowance, like regular. If he comes back from school and says, the price of books have doubled, will I maintain the same allowance? No, think about, will I maintain the same allowance? So we're supposed to pay school fees. Meanwhile, he shows me the notification from the school that says that, see, last session, you paid maybe 200,000 for this. From now, it's now 450,000. Will I still give him 200,000 naira? Now, just give me a simple reason. Why won't I? You can explain different ways, but okay, if you want to talk, let me see your hand. Why won't I? There's no spiritual reason. It's just common sense reason. Why won't I? I'm looking for a particular reason. Who wants to talk? Are you fine? I know the price have increased, but okay, let me give you my answer. Because I'm a reasonable father. There's nothing spiritual. I just have, it's common sense. Now let's ask this simple question. Who has more sense, me or my heavenly father? Now, my son is my son, right? Am I somebody's son? Where's my own father? Our father who art where? In heaven. If I have enough sense to increase my son's allowance, I can assure you he has, let's not call his own sense, he has more love and wisdom than I have for him to increase my allowance. I literally do that. I go and pray. Dear Lord, well, don't double in price. Though. Do you want to collect your car back or you want to send more money? Choose one. Yeah, the Lord. Say, make your request. Lord, I want to retain my car. You bring four. Brethren, if you have that faith, like I said, it's about faith. He will bring the fuel. He will. He will bring the money. One of the things I pray to the Lord for this is, something's led to it. I said, Lord, just give me faith to spend money. Yeah, I know what I'm saying. There are times people will do something. The reflex in me is that, that's a lot of money. My wife said something to me the other day. There's something she wanted to do in front of her office, the compound. Say, my husband prayed for me to have faith. He said, it's not like I don't have the money for this thing. It's faith I don't have. He said, it's not like I don't have the money. It's faith I don't have. One thing the Lord has taught me over the years and in recent times, learning some more. Maybe somebody spends money like this. And I say, hey, they have a lot of money. Do you get it? And I almost feel the Holy Spirit said that. Is it that you don't have, or you don't have the faith to spend? Because what comes to mind is that, see, the one I have, if I spend it like this, you finish. You know what the Lord said? Or what he's saying? That is a problem. Lack of faith. You believe it will finish. So, it shall finish. I don't know whether I get my point. So it will finish. You said it will finish. Yeah, it will finish. But if you believed that the Lord shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, let me assure you, it won't finish. Fact. I said it's about faith. It's about faith. You see, please, I've been saying this to us this year again and again. What the world tries to do and what Satan working with the world tries to do is to weaken our faith. And what do I mean by weaken our faith? It's simple. It's not just, hey, I don't feel faith in my heart. Let me tell you what faith is. Faith is how you reason. Yes, that's what it is. What do I mean by how you reason? Okay, Nehemiah was carrying a lot of goods and he was going to travel. And they said, let us send you soldiers to escort you. He said, no. I told the king that our God will protect us. If I ask for soldiers, I'm not using my faith. So he said to the people, let us pray. Now, you are getting my point. That's faith. It's not lack of fear. It is that there is an issue. What's your plan for handling it? Faith is how you reason. It's just the reasoning pattern that, this money will finish you. And don't worry, God will send another one. He said, well, how do you know? He says, salvation unto the day is evil thereof. And you just say it matter-of-factly. That is what faith is. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. You just say it, and in saying it, not just I say the salvation unto the day. No. When you're making your calculations, of course, you're a reasonable person, you put everything together, but the fact, the reality of God in your life is part of your calculation methods. That's what they call faith. So if indeed you walk by that faith, you know what? God will never disappoint. God will never disappoint. The problem with faith a lot of times in our lives is that we take it... Okay, let me not even go to along that line. Let me just stay here. So what the world tries to do, talking about faith, is to let us know or try to persuade us that God factor does not exist. You are just being a fanatic. Let us be reasonable. And when they say reasonable, let's remove that. Let's use only the natural order. Many years ago, I heard a woman say it. Say, I don't pray for money. Not in Nigeria. Nigerian Christians don't say that. Okay, let me not just say Nigeria. African Christians, we don't say that. There are unbelievers that say that around here. The other day, I kept the video. I said, this is a very foolish thing. He said, getting up early in the morning to go and do your business is prayer. Working very hard is prayer. He was just describing, he said, but getting on your knees and talking to somebody in the sky to send an invisible power to help you is not prayer. I said, are you crazy? That is prayer. The one you have told me is prayer now. It's not prayer. It's a worldly person. This woman said, I don't pray for money. That when I need money, I go and work. I said, a lot of assumptions exist in that statement. What is the first assumption? There's work. Give me another assumption. No. You have strength to walk. Another one? No, there's another one. And that's part of you have strength to walk. That the problem is not bigger than you can walk for. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's a big assumption. Because if all of a sudden you fall sick, look, and you know I know these things. All right? Many people, if you have not been seriously sick, you think treatment, it's an expensive drug is, when your malaria drug is $20,000 for a pack. You say, these drugs are expensive. Because you know there's a one for $2,500 in 2025 like this that can finish malaria. You know that? Yes. But I'm fully aware of drugs that are like $1 million a shot. You need one every other week for 6 months. And there's no cure guaranteed. And when you are sick like that, you don't have the strength to walk. It's malaria you will have. You will buy your 3,000 Naira drug and call them in the office to give you 2 days off. Because you know, you expect it to go away, 2 days. If you take the drugs, start today, by tomorrow, the parasites have been wiped out to a large extent. Then you take one more day to regain your strength, eat food, rest, drink water. By the third day, you are back defending for your team, football team. It's such things that such people will say that I will go and walk. If the kind of scenario I just described for you jams you, you will know you have to pray. What am I saying? What the world does is that they tell you that you hear things like that, so do not keep on telling. Now, see, let me explain. They keep on wearing down your faith. See, recently, I picked Catherine Kuhlman's books. I Believe in Miracles. Give me another one. God Can Do It Again. Those of you have read them. I Believe in Miracles. God Can Do It Again. Get another one. Nothing is impossible for God. Something like that. About three of them. Then another one, One Woman's Story. 10,000 Miles for a Miracle. I was talking with people, you know, like, I'm reading this book. These books. Why? I said, okay, I said it here. I think it was last Tuesday. Yes. Why? I just want to remind myself that there is something bigger than it. Because in my brain, because of my natural training, I know all the connections. I know all the connections, at least as much as is available for human beings to know. So that to believe that there is something bigger than that, I need somebody else to help me. That's why I told the story of one particular child that had a particular disease, which came upon her because a figure walked past and tapped her. And how did the disease go? She went for a Catherine Kuhlman's meeting, and the power of God came, hit the young woman, and cured her. Now, it defeats everything that have been taught. I like hearing stories like that. I like when I have personal testimonies of things like that, just to let me know that I can explain bacteria and viruses, but there's a reason they move. There is a reason. If a disease epidemic comes in and disappears, there's a reason it came in the first place. There's a reason it disappeared. It's not the medicine. At least we know. I mean, using the scriptures, there was a time David offended the Lord, and the Lord said, 3 days in my hands, and 70,000... Look, listen, if WHO was on ground that time, we will identify the organism that's spreading from one place to the other. But how did the organism come to be? What brought in the first place was the sin that David sinned against the Lord. What was the power behind the organism that was going from one place to the other and killing people? It was an angel of death. On the earth, you will see the bacteria. They will describe the immune system, the cytokine storm, this and that that kills people. But if God opens your eyes, you will see, and David saw it, an angel with a sword drawn. Do you follow my point? When the chariot surrounded Elisha, what did we expect? That they will fight and draw sword and kill people, right? But what did they do? They rendered people what? Blind. Did they blind their retina? No, remember, did they blind their retina? They did not. What happened? Did they see Elisha? Did they see Elisha?
Yes.
They did. They saw Elisha. Some people are confused. They read their Bible. You are looking at most people on this side. Those of you on this side, at least, you seem to be following me. Let me just stay here. Did they see Elisha?
Yes.
Did they hear Elisha?
Yes.
But did they perceive Elisha? No. They didn't know who it was. Elisha said, who are you looking for? We're looking for this. He said, come. They could see the road. They could ride. But they rode into the midst of Samaria, the capital city of the enemy. Then Elisha asked the Lord, time to open their eyes. There's only, hey, wait, what are we doing here? Now, how did that come to be? Chariots of fire. Angels riding chariots of fire. Their manifestation was that a man with open eyes did not know what he was seeing. That was the manifestation. A man whose eyes were wide open, the eyes were actually wide shut, like somebody would say. He couldn't understand what he was seeing. Now, what I'm going is that that was a manifestation of what? Angels. That was a manifestation of angels. Do you follow my point? Now, how did the plague in Israel at that time, how did the plague go away? David offered a sacrifice and the plague died down. John G. Lake said in South Africa, there was an outbreak of the plague. This time around, when I say plague, now it's a plague, but the name of the disease this time is plague. It broke out. And one of his men went to go and pray. So John G. Lake, we used to go and see the man, bring him food, maybe in the evenings. The man was fasting the whole day and praying. So one day, he got there and said, how far? The man said, I'm not there yet, but I feel like if I have help, I'll break through. So John G. Lake said, okay, let's pray now. So he joined him and they began to pray. Before they knew what was happening, suddenly their eyes opened. And they saw demons like a flock of goats on the countryside. Their eyes opened. And the two of them, both of them, started running after the demons. And they cast them away from that region in the name of the Lord. And next day, the plague began to die down. Now, physically speaking, it will coincide with one particular drug that was brought in. Maybe WHO sent a particular specialist who suddenly realized where the problem was. Block this, block that, quarantine this area, block access from here to there. But at the end of the day, you know the real thing that happened? The demons were moved away. That's why I like reading books like Adventures in God. Yes, I like reading books like Adventures in God. There was a book I was reading recently. Hi, let me not. I think, no, it's a video. It was Ben Carson that was speaking. But let me not start now. He talked about a man, and just a bit of it, who rode maybe through enemy territory, and they found, you know, bullets all over there. Those days was their maybe caravan, not cars. Bullets everywhere, passing through here and there, but nothing on the man. It's in the scriptures. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. It's in the word of the Lord like that. So I like reading such stories because for me, what do? They just take my eyes away from the physical realm and let me know there is one, a spiritual realm. Not just know theoretically, but practically. And that secondly, this spiritual realm has more power than the physical one and has control over the physical one. A story a brother told me about his life. I've told the story many times. He was supposed to die before a particular age, but he gave his life to Christ and he was delivered. Without any special prayer. That's why I tell the story. He said he knew that he just had this feeling, by this age I will be dead. And it's mid-30s, early 30s. Then he got to know the Lord and he was delivered from that premature death. A few days of the birthday, a thief blocked his car, jumped out of his own, pointed a gun at him from very close range and fired. He said, a long story, okay, but I'm going to make it short. He said, the guy's eyes, he said, when you look into that guy's eye, the guy that shot at him, you knew he was not there. You could see his eyes. The guy wasn't there. His eyes were, you know, locked somewhere else. He didn't have any control of himself. I was listening to Derek Prince in the car as I was driving down here today. And he was talking about this, the apostasy. And that when apostasy went to the church in Germany, the result was Adolf Hitler. Now, that made me think that all the things Adolf Hitler did, he wasn't doing it. A spirit had possessed him. And that spirit was allowed in because of apostasy in the church. Wrong doctrines. Back to the story of the man I was telling. The man said, now, this same fellow, when he started talking with him, that this criminal, I said, don't worry, you'll get your car back. Don't worry, you'll find your car. They took his car. Now, they dropped him. He now went to the police to go and report. This is the part of the story that's interesting for me. He got there because he came out of another car and took his own. He got there to the police station. The owner of the other car was in that same station reporting what happened. And reported that they killed the owner of the next car and they took his car. So, he overheard the man narrating to the policeman. So he not asked about, okay, well, you know, he just tried to join the stories together. He said, oh, I'm the owner of the next car, the other car. And the man told him it's a lie. Isn't all this that happened here? He described it. This your car is like this. this is the color of my car. The guy said, yes. He said, I'm the owner of the car. He said, it's not true because I saw when they killed you. Now, I see things from the spiritual aspect. What happened? He actually saw what had been planned in the spirit. That was what he saw. But what my brother experienced was his deliverance that God had plotted. The other man actually saw what was supposed to take place hereafter, you know, like John would talk. But because the word of God, the spirit of God had intervened, just like the case of Mordecai and Israel, a plan, a decree had been signed, go and wipe them out. Another decree was signed, defend yourself. And people helped them to defend themselves. Because the first decree we released cannot be altered. So the decree that was supposed to keep, the story had been plotted. What did you want to tell him the other day about a man? Okay, I think it was Junior Ezra. He said that one man, armed robbers came to his house, you know, all this kind of, they were chasing him, and he managed to get to his house on time. They had guns and everything. They opened the gate, he ran into, and they locked the gate and he was delivered. And next day, because he felt he was marked, he went out on a motorcycle, had an accident, and died. Do you get my point? That is, if they had gotten you, I'd say, ha, this country, they didn't get him. Then he went on a bike, had an accident, and died. What does that tell you? That death had been decreed. My brother's on, back to the, why I told the story. His elder brother is a clergyman, he's a preacher. And of course, that one is saying, hey, that's God that, of course, and God sent an angel and he blocked the bullet. And they actually found the bullet. The bullet that was fired at him. They found it. Where did they find it? In the body of the car. How did they get there? Just before then, his friend, the same car with him, had told him to adjust the level of the glass. And he had raised the level of the glass to a level where that steel thing that carries the glass up and down stood between him and the bullet fired at him. So he punctured a hole in the body of the car. Do you understand? You can imagine the thief came and shot downwards because they were seated. He was standing. He just cut the thing in the steel part, dented it, and dropped into the body of the door. The decree was kill him with the bullet that day. The other man saw it happen and told police, I saw them murder the other man. And the man himself came, no, the Lord delivered me. The whole thing was a physical manifestation of spiritual deals. Spiritual dealings were going on. Then you had a physical manifestation of it. I like stories like that because it boosts faith. I mean, this man told me a story himself. We were both at a mechanic shop waiting for our cars. We're just catching up, you know, just gisting. They told me this story. I've not forgotten it since. Samuel Doctorian. He boarded a flight. And next thing he knew, the engine caught fire. They were flying. One of the engines of the plane caught fire. He leaned his seat back and said, look, guys, when we land, wake me up. What happened to an average person? Panic. But you know why he didn't panic? He looked out of the window and actually saw the angel carrying that wing. Samuel Doctorian, you can check me out. He said he looked out the window and saw the angel holding the plane up on the other side. So everybody else was panicking. He just closed his eyes like, guys, when we land there, you wake me up. Wake me up. I'm not going to join you to panic. I'm not being carried by these engines. I don't care who manufactured it. I've seen the angel carrying me. Underneath me are his everlasting arms. He will bear me up like an eagle bears her cheeks. Do you follow the principle? So could he be afraid? No. Just like, you know why Elisha, I don't know whether Elisha had faith or not, but this is what you have seen that decides how rested you are. Faith is revelation. Faith is understanding. Everybody was panicking on the plane. He wasn't panicking. He just relaxed, said, guys, you wake me up when we get there. Of course, he landed safely and he walked out of the plane. Because he looked and he saw, God allowed him to see, literally, physically, saw an angel holding the wing of the plane on that side. Just look at the window, saw it, and said, okay, guy, we're done, oh. And then If I were the one, I would greet the angel. Over here, how you doing? How is heaven today? Because don't let me distract you. Where are we landing? People think you've gone crazy. See, occasionally, you know, I've been telling you, if you always look sane to people, your faith is doubtful. No, if every time in your life, people think you're a very logical human being, go and cross the road blindfolded because, you see, you have to do something. You say you go church now. You have to do like you went to church. Tell my wife, something that we were talking about the last few days. I said, see, you may have a friend. He's talking and he shows his bank balance. 650 million naira. He said, Ahmed, you? I said, this is just cash. You want the investment? You know, you now go and start praying. Father, koba yata yaba, ho so, kulululu. What's your own issue? Lord, I have served you. You promised the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And you know, that's your mind. Check my bank balance. 352,000 before charges at the end of the month. You are your friend who doesn't pray the way you do. Look at what he has. That's what you're thinking that God has to show. But God looks and says, walk before me and be perfect. Say, I am your exceedingly great reward. I'm not giving you money. Me, I'm your money. That's me, I am your money. Some scriptures will say that your reward will be exceedingly great. No, I like the way it says, I am your exceeding great reward. Me is not the cash. So fact, that guy is not as rich as you are. He's not. He's definitely not. I mean, it's like, just think about it now. Just to use natural thing, okay? In the world today, who's the richest man today? You know, they keep changing. They keep changing. Last, you know, was Elon Musk. Been Elon Musk for a long time. Then it became Larry Ellison. Who knows the current richest man? Okay, let's just take the one we all know. Elon Musk, okay? Let's just manage Elon Musk. Okay, it changes. Now, assuming now, you meet a young man. His bank balance is $10 million. And he's your friend. Whoa! But that's the peak. Once you cross that his generation to the previous generation, nothing. He's the one giving his father money. Do you get? Then he has another guy who's Elon Musk's son. His own bank balance, zero. Who's richer? No, please, who's richer? On natural plane. Who is richer? Now answer me. Elon Musk's son. But his bank balance is empty now. What will you tell me? If I say, no, how can he be richer? This guy has $10 million bank balance. This one has zero. Now, and you are telling me this is Elon Musk's son. Assuming I don't know Elon Musk. Assuming that I'm Ndaboski, I call him Eri Mosh. Okay? Assuming I don't know who he is. And I just say, what will you say to me? I say, no, how can he be richer? This guy has $10 million. This guy doesn't have anything. Now, please, be honest. What will you say to me? That's it. It's a question you are going to ask me. You got it right. You say, do you know who his father is? No, we will not have any discussion on his bank balance. No, nothing. What you'll be trying to explain to me is that, do you know who his father is? I say, who's his father? What does he have? He say, do you know who his father is? You won't even tell me who his father is. You'll be looking at me like you must be a crazy man. Not to know. You've been generation to this world and you don't know who he is. The song you keep on singing to me is who? Is what? Do you know who his father is? And I said, I beg, it doesn't matter. It's what the man has in his hands. He said, look, you are not serious. What you keep on saying is, do you know who his father is? And I'm saying to you, do you know who your father is? That's what the issue is. Do you know who his father is? It's what you will keep saying. And that's why God is not in a hurry to load your bank account. No, he's not. He's not in a hurry. Say, Lord, I need this amount of money in my bank, but he said, for what? Do you get my point? He just said, for what now? Say, just in case. Just in case of what? What case will happen where I will not be reachable? Do you follow? Think about it. If that richest man we're talking about were to give his son a debit or credit card, now, assuming the guy has no access to checking the father's bank balance, What matters to him is that I have my father's card. And you know the way businesses behave. If they really recognize the guy, they recognize him very well. In fact, I just remember the story. One book we read in primary school. Just like using that story. The boy, he was a prodigal son. He walked to a money lender and said, please. Because his father wouldn't give him money. So he walked to a money lender. Let's say in today's naira. He said, please, can you find me 25 million naira? The man said, eh. So when I wanted to become a money lender, your father was abusing me. That is a bad business. So he gave the boy 25 million naira and the boy walked away. Time to pay, they didn't see the boy. The man walked to the father's house. Where's 25 million naira? You said your son should come and collect from me. The man said, I didn't send my son. Hey, you want to deny him now? That guy just told his manager. Said, take a check, sign it. The bank manager knows you, he won't know it. Because the man was sick. He didn't have time for noise. How much is the money? 25. How much is the interest? 15. Okay, fine. How much is everything? 40 million. Just call his manager. Come. Write him a check for 40 million. Sign it. The bank manager knows you. He will honor it. I don't know how many people remember the book. No, you couldn't have remembered. For your information, I left secondary school, in primary school, in 1984. And I read this book. Okay, I read this book in secondary school. I left secondary school in 1984. Yeah, not primary school, sorry. I left secondary school in 1984. I just feel like oppressing all of you. That is, those of you who feel like you can even talk where I am. Yesterday, I asked my wife, when we were coming back from Abuja, 2 days ago, I said, if they had showed you to me, when I was about to leave university, I for no marry. You know what she said? Me too, I for no marry you. Because I was happy. I said, no one will not tell me. You see one small girl in there, says, this is going to be your wife. I said, for what? The Lord is good. Now, where am I going there? That book is, I don't know whether it's the Passport of Malam Ila or something. I'm not sure it's the one. That's the book. It's not that one. Two of you can fight about it later when you go. Let me just preach my message. But where I'm going is that, think about it. That guy's personality, he used it to borrow money. That is on his father's neck. There was a time Peter caused problem on Jesus' neck. He came and said, we can pay what is not nonsense more. We'll pay. Yeah, when he got to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, are we supposed to pay? He said, it's true, we're not supposed to pay. He said, no, you already told them we will pay. He has so much. There was no cash on him for information. Just to go here, fish, drop your hook in. One fish will come and swallow. Take that particular fish, open his mouth, you will find a coin there. Listen, that experience for me is worth $1 billion. Yes. I may have nothing in my pocket. I just know that the God of the universe, anytime I need something, he will come to my aid. That's what I'm trying to say. That Richard Mann song we're talking about. People will give him anything. If you just walk, I just imagine that he walks into a big dealership in the United States. He wants a Mercedes Benz, brand new. He said, you can't afford to offend his father. Take. So what if he doesn't pay? Is the risk worth taking? Because if Akali doesn't pay, you're going to meet his father. Please, your son, $150,000. That's all. It's not worth the noise. He doesn't even want it in the press. He doesn't want the noise. He doesn't want somebody pay him. That's what it means to be a rich person's son. That's what it means. So that's why you should be relaxed. What is this? What's your stress? Just because your own account balance is not heavy. Your father's account balance is good enough. It's good enough. What am I worth as a person, money-wise? I can't calculate. Because if you tell me to start, I have to look at my father's account balance. I can't look at my own account balance. Whose balance will I look at? My father's. And that's what faith is for us. Please, this is not, how do I say, it's not just a way of making you feel happy. This is what actually will become flesh. The Bible says the word becomes flesh and dwelt, it became flesh and dwelt amongst us. I'm saying the word will still become flesh and dwell around you. Solve your problems. It's just the problem of what? Faith. Faith. Satan trying to make sure that faith doesn't work for you. He keeps on reminding you the country you live in is bad. Jesus said, where is your faith? He said, right now, oh boy, my faith is in America. It's a question the Lord keeps asking. Let's remind us the three questions we now have now. I'll be adding to it. Where are you? What are you doing here? Three. Where is your faith? A lot of people, their faith is in one country. A lot of people, their faith is in a particular degree. If I can get this degree, I have it made. A lot of people, their faith is in a man, somebody they know. If I can marry this man, I'm made. Where is your faith? It's in marrying this guy. A lot of people, their faith is in somebody. What do, I said, you know that your friend? He saw a rich man of questionable source of reset. This is divine connection. Where is your faith? In knowing rich men. I told you, God is helping me. I'm not saying I'm a perfect man, but God, they help me. Eh? I'm a preacher. I've had the opportunity to meet rich people again and again. God has really helped me. I think I have done it 99.9%. I actually work on it deliberately, that your wealth must never impress me. There have been rich people that I blocked their number. I'm telling you. The one I'm thinking of is a woman. I just said, hey, you think because you're rich, you have the right to send me a message? I blocked the number. I said, please, in my mind, I won't come to beg you for money. Knowing you will not do anything for me in this life. It was on WhatsApp. I just click, block. You know, go no say I don't block him. You go send message, tire. I know. If you call, I know go answer. What kind of thing is that one? Next time you want to talk to me, you have to go and get an intercessor. You know what they call intercessor? A mutual friend. Say, please, I need to talk to pastor. I say, okay. Tell her to tell you what the problem is. Then you talk to me. Then I'll tell you what to go to River Jordan and dip 7 times. Don't call me. No, I, God has helped me. No, you see, God has helped me. And he will continue to help me. Amen. Yeah, he will continue to help me. She said 99.9, right? Just to let me, I'm not saying I'm perfect. But my own has to be 99.99999. Approximating 100%. Paul said, I have coveted no one's silver or gold. No one's money. I don't want my eyes. Because before you know what's happening, they start changing your message, then the Lord will now punish you. And that's when man of God will enter into trouble because of a human being. Jesus said, what? Where is your faith? And I'm asking you this evening, where is your faith? I met a man once. Every day I see him waking up in the morning. He will come to my relative's house. At night, he will go back home. He was not doing anything. I said, why is this man not working? He says, waiting to get a visa to go abroad. And at least a year I knew him. He hadn't gotten the visa. He was not working. And I knew they would never give him. See, yeah, first, his age that time was anti-visa. You know, there's age that's pro-visa. And there's age that's anti. See, there's a particular age where you'll be. Your children have to be living abroad. And they invite you for Omugwo before they give you visa. And that, when men go for Omugwo, what is it? Opugwo. Is it? It has to be Opugwo or something like that. It has to be. For those who are listening, who don't know what's Omugwo, see, this is Eastern Nigeria. When a young woman delivers, the mother often goes to stay with her for a while to help her nurse the baby. We call it Omugwo. And we just discovered that if the father that decides to go, it shall be called Opugwo. There's a particular age you will be that, except your children inviting you for Omugwo or Opugwo, nobody is giving you a visa. And that my guy was approaching it. Where was his faith? Abroad. True Christians, you offend the Lord when you keep your faith in a place or in somebody and it's not him. See, you have to follow God in such a manner that he cannot decide where to place you. And please, don't
Don't rejoice at any place. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You see, there's no need. Don't rejoice anywhere. They say, hey, rejoice with me. What happened? They gave me visa to Australia. They gave me visa to Canada. There's no rejoicing in it. It's either you have work there or you don't have. Went to one brother's office then, on this road. We're just talking. He said, bank, you don't come back. I said, yes, sir. He's a senior person. I said, yes, I'm back. He said, did they give you? I said, yes. So we're talking. Just talking. Well, my visa interview I went for, it was my first time of going to the U.S. He said, okay. I said, did they give you the visa? This is long ago. I'm talking about where's this boy? And that guy on the camera there. His mother was 3 months pregnant with him when I traveled. So to tell you how long ago the story I'm telling you is. Okay, it's quite a while ago, all right? So the guy said, did they give you the visa? I said, yes, they did. The young man sitting in front of me, there was no young man there. He just suddenly turned. He looked at me. Eh? He said, U.S. visa. I said, yeah. Ah! You know? I looked at him like, what? What? Like, this excitement, what is it about? He was like, sir, you have hit jackpot. I said, I didn't hit anything. You see, nothing happened. I'm going to be gone for a few weeks and I'll be back. And I went for a few weeks. In fact, one of the most distressing 5 weeks of my life, because I didn't see my wife for 5 weeks. And I was talking to her every day. If you see how horribly... The guy looked at me like, I said, boy, I would gladly exchange this visa for just ordinary $50,000. So let's just, not even a million. If you give me $50,000, I'll go. If someone in America says, don't come, take $50,000. I'm not going now. Give me the $50,000. Ordinary $50,000. What is all of this noise? That's how I heard the story. One guy went for visa interview one day. After they done interview and finished, I don't know whether it's US or... it must be US. UK people don't behave like that. When they finish, the person... Okay, the visa is approved. The guy shouted, yes! They canceled it on the spot. They canceled it. They said... Yeah. He was like, yes! He was so happy. He didn't know when he jumped into the air. They said he jumped into the air. This really happened. The interviewer looked at him like, no, you have another plan. They cancel the visa. No, on the spot, they cancel the visa. No, that is, it's not worth this level of joy. This, your rejoicing has an ulterior motive. There's something inside that you plan. You want to bomb White House. We're not letting you go. they said on the spot, a visa that was approved was rejected. Why? They said the rejoicing was excessive. Let me use the proper word, all right? Was inappropriate. That this rejoicing is inappropriate. It's too much for what it's supposed to be. We are giving you a visiting visa for goodness sake. We're not trying to get into heaven. We're not saying we'll let you know when Jesus is coming back. He was supposed to come last week, right? But you know why Jesus didn't come last week? For those of you who don't know, I can tell you. He was supposed to fly Enugu Air. He missed his flight. Those of you are waiting for Jesus Christ. Okay, it wasn't Enugu Air. When he said he would come last week, he thought that Elon Musk would have finished developing the mothership. Elon Musk now called him that, Oga, he's not ready. So that's why he didn't come. How can human be so foolish and believe that nonsense? The moment they said it, I knew it couldn't make sense. No man knows the hour. People are giving you the hour and the date. Jesus was told that no man knows. And one man comes to tell you that he knows, thereby calling Jesus a liar, and you are following him. You yourself, honestly, you should be detained. Not in police cell, but in a psychiatric hospital. For seriously mentally deranged persons. It's like me coming to tell you now. He said, I don't have a cow. I don't have a cow. Then somebody come up and says, waiting for banking. Waiting for Pastor Banking. He said, it's carrying us in his car. I said, but the man just left here 1 minute. He said, he doesn't have. You know, if you wait for that fellow, you are the one that's sick. He's not the guy. That one already had a problem. But you that's been, I just came to you. I told you I don't have. Then he tells that he's waiting for me to come and carry him in his car. And you waited with him. Two of you will be there till tomorrow. No, that's just by the way. Please, just by the way. Some people don't know. These kind of things, they come up once in a while. They do. They do. Do you know how many times they've come up?
They will tell you the date. Some will tell you the, why. Because the blood moon is going to turn yellow and blue. And they will show you one or two scriptures tied together. And that the astronomers these days, they have now found that that blood moon is coming so and so period. So Jesus is going to come between 8 a.m. and 11:30. Please, these days, YouTube allows every put something online. So the phones are not the problem. It is you that pay them attention. Once they have a seminar, when Jesus is coming back, don't go for that seminar. Don't go. But if they have to prepare for his coming because you don't know the hour, he will come like a thief in the night. Please, buy a ticket and go. How to live ready in case he comes now. Go there and learn. The Lord is good. Remember, where is your faith? Yeah, we're telling the story about where your faith is. Don't let your faith be where, be anywhere else apart from in God and in his promises. Don't let your faith be anywhere else apart from in God and in his promises. I will say that one more time. Please do not allow your faith be in anything or any person or anywhere else apart from God and his promises. As I said, you open this particular scripture. Let's continue from there. Luke chapter 16. Now, what I want to read, initially you see, what has this got to do with your teaching for today? But just a particular verse I want to use to bring out something. The book of Luke chapter 16. We are still looking at taking what is yours in prayer. Taking what is yours in prayer. The Lord was telling disciples a parable in verse 1. He said, there was a rich man who had a manager, and his manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager. The manager said to himself, what shall I do? Now listen to this. It's verse 3. That's the reason why I'm reading this. The manager said to himself, what shall I do? Since my master is taking this job away from me, I am not strong enough to dig and I'm ashamed to beg. Now I know what I shall do in verse 4. So that when this job is taken from me, people will welcome me into their homes. And then, I won't read the rest, but you know the story. He now summoned each of his master's debtors and began to negotiate something evil with them so as to defraud the master and buy favor with his master's debtors. Of course, that was a foolish thing on his part because human beings cannot be trusted. But let's just leave that, okay? Why I read this is just to bring out the issue that he said, I'm about to lose my job. What shall I do? He said, I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. Then he went into cheating. He went into lying. He went into fraud. What was the simple reason he went into fraud and cheating and all of that? Let me tell you just one reason. Fear of tomorrow. It's just fear. Fear of what tomorrow holds is why he decided to cheat. Today, till today. Why most people steal? There are a lot of people who steal because of today. But a lot of people who God has given enough money, who go into government, to politics, big companies, and steal, is because of tomorrow. That's it. See, let me tell you, the fear of tomorrow is extremely powerful. It leads to sin. In case you don't know, that is what is called mammon. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? The anxiety about what tomorrow holds when it comes to provision is a major temptation that makes people run away from the center of God's will. Please, I need to explain that very well. See, in this our generation, of course, Nigeria has gone through this season again and again. Please, listen to me carefully. Don't say, Pastor, because people have given me names that God didn't give me. Because he won't listen carefully. I wasn't born in Enugu. I traveled to Enugu. Is that okay? God, but let me just tell you this, to the glory of God, okay? I didn't come to Enugu because I was afraid of tomorrow. In fact, when people heard I was going to Enugu, they asked me, are you not afraid of tomorrow? Many people asked me that. They didn't use that particular expression, but what they said was that, if trouble breaks out in Nigeria, you know you have to be amongst your people. Do you follow my point? And there was no trouble. There was no trouble. But they just said, look, something might go wrong. Worry. They tried to persuade me. Others said that Lagos is where the money is because I was in Lagos and I was relocating my young family. I just married a few months before. Got married in December. And this was the following year. Early part of the year, I began to tell them I'll be going to Enugu. I finally came September, the following year, 1st of September. So, people asked me that, this is where the money is. And I also added to for them, this is also where the trouble is. That is, I'm not saying there's no trouble where I'm going, but the trouble where I'm coming from is bigger than the trouble where I'm going. Just as the money there is bigger than the, do you get my point? They balance out. That was the way I answered them. That's the way I answered. I'm just trying to say that, look, I went against fear of tomorrow. That's what I'm trying to explain. So, but I'm using that one to justify the fact that people can move. Just the fact, just you understand that I wasn't born here. One day I decided to emigrate. Is that okay? Or you say, Pastor, they don't use emigrate if it's the same country. What do you use? Those of you who know sociology, what do you use? Relocate. They also relocate abroad now. I want the one that only... Okay, it's not immigrate, it's internal migration. To internally migrate, okay. But the point I'm making is that I moved, all right? And people move. Where did you move to for NYC? Okay, this man moved to Oshogbo. And from there, he moved back to Enugu. And he's been moving up and down. Moving is part of life. Do you follow my point? However, you went to Oshogbo because you're afraid of tomorrow. No, there was an assignment. It's a national assignment. It's called National Youth Service. You went to go and do that in Oshogbo. Now, brethren, please listen. Anytime you have to move in this life, know what is moving you. And it must never be the fear of tomorrow. If it's the fear of tomorrow, you sin against God. Let's call it the way it is. If it's the fear of tomorrow, you will sin against God. I've noticed something. God has left a lot of things in this life to be a temptation to us, to test our faith. Yes, that's just the way it does. It allows your faith to be tested. That's just the way life is. Your faith will be tested. Every day is being tested. One major mistake a lot of us who walk by faith or claim we are walking by faith make is that we think the faith will actually physically balance out. I don't know whether I get my point. Let me explain what I'm saying. Somebody decides to move to... Okay, let me just... Give me a country. Somewhere in Europe. You're in Nigeria by faith. So you are believing God that one day you'll be richer than him, even if you... See, wipe that thing off your cerebral cortex right now. Right now. Begin to wipe it off your cerebral cortex. God doesn't play that game. Do you follow my point? He doesn't... Hey, please, I pray we understand. Because a lot of young people think that what you are saying to them is that stay here. You'll be rich like those who went there. It's not true. Let's get this clear. God is not making any promise of riches. What he's making as a promise is that you will fulfill your assignment if you follow me. You will enter into the destiny I created for you if you follow me. And nobody that faithfully waits for me will ever be put to shame. That's all. Do you get my point? He is not in the competition business. He does not participate in that business of competing with who is richer or who is not. There are rich people in Nigeria. There are rich people in America. Do you get my point? There are poor people in Nigeria. There are poor people. So God, you see, his own is not about who's rich or who's not rich. He doesn't owe you to give you all the money people are looking for elsewhere where you are. His own is that, see, he has an assignment for your life and your success is not being measured. There's no measurement pattern with money. Are we getting that clear? It's very important. One major reason people make decisions... Now, why I'm telling that story is that these days, people do some things that I find just absolutely shocking. I used to, but not anymore. Somebody will sit down, see. One of our brothers told me a story of a man that... Let's say, when see the money he spent to relocate. Which is, now, some of you who want to use, I want to go and do masters to relocate, I don't think you're being wise. I know what I'm saying. Okay? This guy spent that time, not now, a few years ago, 150 million naira. Yes. Pastor Dami, please close the mouth. Yeah, because the money he spent. And the money, yeah, he had it. He didn't borrow. He wasn't owing anybody. And you're wondering, excuse me. You know, you are thinking that you give me 150 million. Eh? In fact, I would displace Pitamba. I'm going to government house to go and tell him, maybe I'm a governor in my own right. That's what you are thinking. But the man had it. Who was telling me a story if you, I think it was, oh God, you know, here things. One guy, he went abroad, went to the UK. After living for a few days or a few months, he packed his bag and went back, came back to Nigeria for just one reason. Said the house is too small. I heard that story a few days ago. Now, the point I'm making about all of this is this. You see a man who could raise 150 million naira. So you ask yourself, what is pushing him? Let me tell you, it's fear. It's fear. Please, everybody listening to me, I brought a message from the Lord. I don't say that lightly. To you. That you cannot allow fear of tomorrow rule your life. We've got to talk about destiny. 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 People's destiny. Most people in today's modern church in a country like this, they will miss their destiny. Not because of adultery. In fact, the adulterer will do better than them before God. I know what I'm saying. They will miss their destiny not because they stole money. In fact, the thief will do better than them before the Lord. Most will miss it because of one thing, fear. And God says the fearful is amongst those they cast into the lake of fire. Please, what I'm saying, don't joke with it all. Bear it in mind. Most people, in fact, you know, let me tell you, temptations in life, they vary. Most people don't know what they call temptation. This, you know, sexual temptation is what they call temptation. In fact, for most serious Christians, that's the only one they think is temptation. Because they don't steal. Do you understand my point? Uh-huh. You know what they call temptation? Bad photo. On phone. That's what they call temptation. The painful part is that when they win that, they are relaxed. Oh, they are relaxed. Meanwhile, Satan says that's not the real issue. What I'm going to come to do to you is tell you, say, in this country, you think you'll ever buy a car? No. Because the sexual temptations cannot be argued into being reasonable. Fornication is fornication. Adultery is adultery. Usually, most of us in Nigeria don't have arguments on whether God agrees or he does not. Even if we disobey him. Even unbelievers, they just say, look, God will forgive me. Do you get my point? But even pastors, we stand on the pulpit and preach fear of tomorrow as wisdom. And they don't know it is Satan they are preaching for. These days, some people are preaching and say, Satan has taken your pulpit, you don't know. Yeah, I know what I'm telling you. A lot of people, Satan has taken their pulpits. They don't know. One day I had a man preach. But it was senior to me. I couldn't talk to him, really. I don't know. God help me. This man made statements. I felt like him say, sir, do you know what they call worry? You are preaching that people should worry. And you don't think there's anything wrong with it. Say, you know, food is going to be very expensive. What are you doing about it? Then they give some tips. And someone told him that they walk by faith. He said, you will go hungry. They told you they walk by faith. And you're a preacher. You are telling them they will go hungry. One of our brothers was telling me, he attends the church in Port Harcourt. He said, Oga, in our church, they preach that you can prosper anywhere. That God is not specific about your location in life. I don't have time to talk about that. That's a fat lie. God is emphatic about your location. He locates people. He does. He decides where you will live.
It decides who you live there with. It decides what you will do there. It's not your idea. I told him, I said, see, you know, I keep telling you guys here, fact, if you listen to me, you've heard me say this before. Doctrine cannot be argued. Those who are telling you 2 plus is equal to 17, they know it is 4. They need it to be 17. Do you get my point? The doctrine is not a matter of intellectual rigor in the letters of the scriptures. It's where the heart is. The other day, one brother was telling me how in his church, they were planning to promote him and post him to a rich part of town, and they would start a church there. And the senior pastor was calculating for him, if he can get like 20 people in the church in that area who are paying tithe, he's settled. Did you get what I said? No, you didn't get me. Do you understand me? Are you sure you understand? What did I say? Yes. Tight. Not. I like the way he said tax. It's not tax. So. Tight. Tight. Uh-huh. In where? In a rich area of town. So he will go to a rich area, start his church. Now, this is where I'm going. If you go there, which doctrine do you want to argue about tithing? There's nothing. A business plan was written on it. Do you follow my point? A lot of our doctrines, something is inside. I'm sorry. See, let me just say, a lot of people who preach, once they always say, sin is not external, is because they have tried to stop sinning. They've not been able to stop. So they have to excuse it. I heard of a pastor who said that the fact that we are pastors don't mean we are holy. He had accepted that he cannot be holy. So every time he stands on the pulpit to preach, now a pastor's, and the one I knew him, in the same church as another guy who I knew, who came to Enugu, I went to see this guy, they called me, I said, I'm looking for someone, they said, oh, pastor. I said, ah, is he a pastor? He looked to me more like Bob Marley, like a musician, you know, that kind of thing, you know, Rasta man, you know, that kind of stuff. I told another friend, say, I met one pastor, the very funny looking pastor. He said, you saw him when? Today. He recognized that description. He said, he's supposed to be abroad. I said, no, I'm coming from his office. You know why I tell the story? Pastor left wife and two children abroad in Lagos, came to Enugu, caught another woman, told me, don't worry, I'm divorcing my wife. So he impregnated that one. That one has a child for him. So he's lying to that one that I'm not in town. Now, you know what I'm telling the story? These two men, they are the ones that stand on the pulpit. I said, no matter what, your spirit is pure. Your spirit is pure. Praise God. Sin is not a portion of the believer. This is what I've told you. They are pastors preaching. See, I'm telling you, that's what they preach. You've seen why they preach it. You've seen why they preach it. I've told you, see, some argue doctrine with a lot of people. What they are arguing about is not we can read this book. Oh, we can read it. But when 2 plus 2 cannot be 4, and we have to argue from morning till night on how is actually 6.5. There are other factors. There are things we have added. It has to be that 6.5. Otherwise, things go spoil. Congregation will scatter. We are not looking for truth. We are trying to feed our flesh. Brethren, that's often what the problem is. To my brother, I said, your people are being ruled by fear. That's why these doctrines. I said, look, see, let's leave this issue of can I prosper anywhere? Ask, did God send me somewhere or he did not? Can I do that first time I was telling the story. Not that one. Before then, friend of mine, one brother, he saw me. He said, your friend did a brother. I said, yes. He said, don't you think he's doing better medical practice than you? I said, did he go with my patient? That was the question I asked. I said, did he go with my patient? It's not about me. Medical practice is something to help the sick. It's not something to do for the sake of pride that I have practiced. I said, did he go with my patient? He couldn't answer me. And so you're talking about that. Of course. Do you understand? You may have the highest medical practice over there and have the lowest crude method down here. But every day I'm saving people who otherwise would not be saved. I told you the first time I went that time, I told the story many times. I went to an institution, MD Anderson Cancer Center, worked there for a month.
right, for, a, you know, for a training program. One day I was just those early days, the secretary was showing me around. She asked me, I said, it was just, she had, of course, she's a white woman, Texan woman, and all of that. We're just talking. Said that she didn't know about Nigeria. She was asking me a lot of questions about Nigeria and all of that. We're talking about the medical field. I wanted to explain to her how many pathologists we have. I said, how many do you have in this building? That institution. She said, about 100. I thought she didn't understand me. I didn't say specialists. I said pathologists. She said, you mean surgical pathology and cytopathology? I said, yes. Just what we call anatomic pathology. She said, yes. Okay, if that's what you're saying. I said, 100. I said, what did you say? She said, 100. Then she reminded me that she had told me maybe the day I arrived that they are building a new building only for that specialty. I said, and somebody said I should stay in this country. As at that time, the whole of Nigeria did not have 50. The whole Nigeria. Because then, we're not so many, you could guess who is where. We were not up to 50. Or maybe about 50. Not more than 50. The whole country. I said, no, this would be wrong. I said, I don't care what you guys are offering. First, I wasn't tempted. I'm running a ministry. I came to do something. But even if I was, this conversation has just told me I'm going home. So I said to the young man out there, I said, did he take my patients with them? Why are you talking as if it's about me and how I feel? It's about who I'm supposed to serve. Fear of tomorrow. Thus says the Lord, it is not allowed to guide your decisions. But God never says, don't be afraid, without telling you why you shouldn't be afraid. So Abraham, don't be afraid. I'm your exceeding. Quote it for me fully. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Don't forget that. My shield, my exceeding great reward. Exceedingly great reward. That's who he is. He has to tell you that. And let me give you his word. He said, I am in charge of your tomorrow. I will take care of you. I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. Remember I said it's about faith. Having reason to fear is not a sin. What you do about it is what the issue is. What did I say? Having reason to fear is not a sin. What do you do about it? That's what the issue is. Brethren, God offers nothing apart from himself and his promises against your fears. I'll say that again. God offers nothing apart from himself and his promises. In fact, when you get to know him, you get the offer of his promises. That's the only thing he has in defense against your fears. That's the only thing he has to offer you. Brethren, he will not give you a business plan. A man came to me one day. I've told the story again some time ago. We stood somewhere at the back here. He came to see me. He met Pastor Okemute. And what was his issue? He was in a denomination where they trained their ministers for a long time. Okay, let's just say the way. He was trained to be a Catholic priest. And if you know anything about how to train a Catholic priest, you will know it's not the redeemed pastor we are talking about here. The Anglican priest is even small. The Anglican priest, once you are educated, 3 years training, you don't qualify now. They don't give you parish. Is it more than 3 years? You know Anglican things now? Or you don't? Okay, you're a deeper life man. Okay, I forgot that. Who has Anglican things here? Who knows Anglican things? How many years is it? For somebody who has maybe university degree ahead of time. Okay. Just a short while. See what I'm saying? Catholics take it from when you're young. They give you 2 degrees. The whole thing takes about, is it 7 or 9 years? Who knows? But okay, it's a long time. Even if it's 7 years, it's not a small thing. But it's more like 9 years. Let's just say it's 9, okay? Or let's just say 8 for the purpose of discussion. Now, something happened to him. He had the revelation of God. God has different plans for different people. There are priests who are doing well. God is with them. But they are. In his own case, the Holy Spirit came to him clearly and told him, you have to do something else. Don't take the ordination. And it was just a few months to completing it. He didn't have 2 years to go. He had a few months to go. When he came to speak with us, he talked to Pastor Kimute at length. Kimute said, I should talk with him. He just wanted to know. He said, the questions I got are not useful to me outside. I've spent more than 8 years now training. I'm supposed to leave it all behind. He now asked a question. So, what will I do? Fear of tomorrow. You know, the Bible says concerning the rich young ruler. He said, Jesus loved him. I loved this man too. I felt sorry for him. But I had to give him the truth. I said, I don't know. And God will not tell you. I said, only one discussion we must have. Are we sure it is the Lord? As if we are sure, then do what he says. He forbids you from worrying about what will happen after. You know what he says? I'm your shield. I'm your exceedingly great reward. That's all. He won't tell you more than that. I'm your shield. I'm your exceedingly great reward. See, brethren, that's the beginning and that's the end. It offends him. It is sin against him. Well, you need more guarantees than that. I say that to you again, brethren. It offends him. It's a sin against him when you need more guarantees than that. He only offers the knowledge of himself and his word. That's all. He won't show you, look at that hill. If you start farming around it, your corn will be 3 times normal size. And then you will dig that hill, you find gold. He won't tell you. Even if he had put literal gold in your pocket, he would make sure you can't feel the weight of it. The reason why he was excited about Abraham, no time to talk about that again, was because Abraham trusted him so much. He was willing to risk not the life of Isaac per se, but the promises he had worked with God for over 60 years. He was willing to risk it on his word, his promise. That if he says it, it's final. It's our school of prayer. I'm just teaching on why we pray like this. Brethren, all he offers is what? His word. Please, let me give you the instruction of the Spirit. The greatest destiny destroyer right now in the life of many believers is the fear of tomorrow. It's not sin, that is the way they normally count sin. It's the fear of tomorrow. People are abandoning. Pastor Dan, imagine, now please, brethren, imagine you came here tomorrow. On today's what?
Tuesday.
I'm supposed to be here on Saturday teaching, right? God bless. Where's Elder John? He wasn't down here just now. Okay. God bless him. He took the teaching for me last Saturday. I wasn't around. I had to travel for something, but I'm back now. Okay? I mean, of course, I'm standing in front of you. Don't have to tell you I'm back. What kind of funny thing is that, all right? Of course, I'm standing in front of you. Now, let's assume you come on Saturday, next Saturday. You don't see me. 2 Saturdays later, the following Saturday, you don't see me. Tuesday in between, you don't see me. They now say, where's Pastor? Said, the way the country is going. Now, I didn't go abroad. They has left Enugu to go to Lagos because Shell gave him a contract job. So he said he'll be coming to teach once in 3 weeks or once in 6 weeks. And the money is very good. In fact, the way he calculated it, after that, the first year he'll buy his wife a very nice car. Then he'll start one industry for his children and all of that. Now, please, don't say anything. Just think it. How will you feel? Do you know you'd rather me die in poverty? And I'm here preaching. He said, Pastor, don't worry. I'm going to bring food for you. That's all you can offer. Saturday food. But if you hear that I left the preaching, if you can sleep for a week, you are strong. Because you just believe, you just wake your wife up. Wait, so I wake up. What is it? So I'm just thinking, what was Pastor thinking? She said, oh, honey, please, can I sleep? Okay, sleep. Before you go back to sleep, see, there's something I was just trying to say. What is the problem exactly? Is he called or he's not called? Okay, a question will ache your mind. But you know, your mind won't be so ached if you hear that this guy is always breaking down. Say, God will help him. Do you follow? But if you hear that for prosperity's sake, you don't find me here again. In fact, I just handed over to Dami and Elder John and Pastor Kimute. Said, they have grace, they will bless you. You will not be satisfied. Not because you're not being blessed by them, because you're wondering, what did I smoke? Pastor must have smoked something. You now start looking at my wife funny. It's her fault. Oh, I said, what did I do? Where's your husband? I know it is you. But you can't say it on the surface, but in your heart. When people marry Jezebel, that's what happens. Father, in the name of Jesus, why do you approve that marriage in the first place? Shouldn't they be blaming her for nothing? Sounds funny, right? I've seen people do this thing. Yeah. Damn it. Anointed men will abandon church. And you're wondering, excuse me, is a church you just abandoned like this? Are you called? Doesn't start believing stupid doctrines like it doesn't matter anywhere you are, God can use you there. But that, is that what he wants? Is that what you are looking for, where he will use you? Or where you'll be comfortable? Brethren, let's pray in a moment. The reason I have found out, the most deadly reason why people abandon the grace of God in their lives right now that I have found is the fear of tomorrow. Please, I'm not saying the fear is not real. It's real. But doesn't make it just. I'm not saying the fear is not real. It just does not justify it. And let me tell you something, when it comes to God, the way he judges. I saw a man of God once running helter-skelter. No? They run kiri-kiri. How did that guy say it again? Kiti-kiti. I run kata-kata. Enough he did drink water, drop cup. So I went to the man, I said, I'm normally not like that, no, but I felt strongly about it. I said, the Lord said, don't worry. Relax. He will take care of everything. One day I heard him say, the way he took care of me the other time, Abby. Now believe me, John. So I will pursue my millions. I just felt this. It was strong in me. So the Lord said, relax. This kitty kitty, kata kata, you won't get anywhere. Brethren, you're running against horses. You don't understand this life. Satan is actually there. I don't like talking much about Satan, but he's there. I don't know about you, there are things that scare me in this life. You know one of the things that scared me? In fact, I was telling you. One of the things that scare me the most, there are two things. I've just mentioned one. The one that scares me the most is for me to be somewhere. And the Lord comes and says, Banky. It's a good echo because when we fire away, Banky. Bankole. I think this Banky is between you. God doesn't call Banky or does he know Banky? Call it your full name. Bankole Olushino. Abakulu. Where are you? Do you get my point? What that scares me is that I say, hey Lord, I know my children. I know my future. You know my this. And then that says, but I told, that is still entering my body now, even though they have not said it. That is, let me say, there's something about what I told you. One, in fact, just one I want to say, it hurts him deeply. See, I don't know about you. One of the things that pains me the most till today, when I tell somebody, do this, do that, put that thing here, then everything goes wrong. And I said, okay, wait, how did you do that? He said, no, I didn't feel comfortable with that place. So I went up. What comes to your mind? But I told you. No, that but I told you, if it's a child, and there's no video to record you to put on social media, you go beat. Before you finish, you have unbuckled your belt. It has come out. You have rolled the long portion to, because if it's long, it doesn't have power. When it's short like that, when it cannot weave anyhow. And then when it's an adult, like, please, wait here. Let me go and get my gun. Yeah, you got to shoot the person. For one simple reason. But I told you. You know, the thing just like, but I told you not to put that thing on before you do this. Now the whole house has caught fire. One day I told people in my house, my kids were small that time. I said, if you want to bathe the kids with hot water, put cold water first before you bring in the hot water. Always put cold water in the bathroom before you bring in the hot water. I rang that thing. Then the young girl living with me that time, heated a whole kettle of water,
poured inside and walked away. And Akiolu went, dipped the bucket in a bowl in it, didn't break, and poured it on his head. In 30 minutes, I was in bones and plastics unit in orthopedic hospital. You can imagine what happened. I just heard screaming. He was screaming. He poured boiling water. He didn't think. Young boy, he was small now, was like 10. Just entered the bathroom. He went to have a bath. Just took a bowl. Just scooped the water. You know, just one movement. Bam! The way he poured like this, that's how the bone went. I love this young girl. How do I kill you now? What was the question? What I told you, don't ever bring hot water into the bathroom. Anytime hot water comes, you pour it straight into a cold one. Look at me in the orthopedic hospital. Of course, in a short while, blebs all over the place. They had to be cutting and doing this. I said, what I told you. Brethren, God is saying, and I'm telling you what he's saying. Let him not come to you one day and say, but I told you. He says, I will take care of you. Remember we're talking about writing a script? This is how we write a script. Instead of running up and down, running to Egypt against the counsel of God, abandoning his posting because of fear. I say to you again, the only thing he has to offer you what is what? Himself. Knowledge of himself and his will. Let's write to our feet. Let's read this. Let's write this script. Let's write this script for our future. Let's write this script in such a manner that our life is guided. We will never disobey his calling. We will never disobey his will. We will never be afraid. You will never make any decision out of fear. The fear of tomorrow. I've seen parents, they do funny things. One woman sat in front of my wife once and was saying, I was trying to talk to her, I knew she wasn't listening. That the child had to do physics, chemistry, and biology and maths. This child confided in my wife, said, Ma, I want to study law. I don't know physics. I don't want to read it. So I said, I walked to my wife's office that day. I was trying to talk to the woman. Madam, you see, you know what she said to me? How many lawyers go to America and get a job? My girl is going to be a nurse. Yeah. That's all. That is, this girl, like, when Yoruba man wants to hear person, you know what he will say? That I can't use the bottom of a bottle to write zero. That's a Yabis on my side. They will say that the person not free to use the bottom of bottle to write zero. You know that doesn't require anything. Just put it down. It's zero is written. He said he can't use the bottom of a bottle to write zero. This girl was like that when it came to physics and math, and you understand? The girl couldn't use the quadratic equation. What is that? That's third heavens. Do you understand my point? And he said, see, what I want to do is look at all these people are doing the YDX. I don't understand. The mother said to me, that how many lawyers do I see get to America and get a job? This girl's going to be a nurse. Fear of tomorrow. A young girl was a good, of course, failed the whole thing. Oh, nonsense. Let's not talk more about that one. Brethren. First, before we start reading scripture, pray, take a minute and say, Lord, I'm dedicating myself not to make a decision because of the fear of tomorrow. There are those who are making marriage decisions because of the fear of tomorrow. Say, Lord, that will not be me. You're a young woman, listen to me. Just say, Lord, that will not be me. That will not be me. That will not be me. Career decisions because of fear, the fear of tomorrow. Say, no, it will not be me. It will not be me. It will not be me. Say, it will not be me. It will not be me. Those who make marriage decisions because of the fear of tomorrow, say, Lord, I will not be one of them. You need to open your mouth and tell the Lord. Say that to the Lord. Those who make career decisions because of fear of tomorrow. You need to pray that prayer. You need to pray that prayer. Now open your Bibles quickly. Let's begin.
What did God say? The first thing, because this is now, you know what they are doing? These are the scripts. I mean, these are the scriptures with which we write the script for the security for tomorrow. Like I said, those fears are real. They are real. But you write a script. And what do? Constantly, when fear comes, you read your script. Yes, let me actually give you as an assignment. Get home. Put the scripture. You can note them as we're reading. Put them together like a letter to yourself. When fear comes, one brother told me once that people sat down, when they talked about the country, he didn't know when he broke, he began to cry out of fear. He knew his life was over. He had just left school. They painted the gloomy picture for him concerning the future. He broke into tears and started crying. But God stirred up faith in his heart and God blessed him financially. Yes, I was telling him the story. Tell God, I began to cry one day. The Lord is good. Write this script and read it. When fear comes, it will come. A lot of people are running up and down. Okay, I'll tell you something earlier. You see, people are so blessed. You see, and you hear, like one doctor said, I saw the video. He just arrived in Canada describing how racism, how he's being treated, and all of that. This man said he was a psychiatrist in Abuja. I think he owned the building where his hospital was. He owned the house he lived in. He had, was it three or four cars he said he had? He had a cook, driver, and everything. He packed everything up, everything. I located abroad. There are those who are looking for even basic things, so you feel sorry for them. But this one, they said, it was not saying how it is being treated, kinikon, that they don't know that he's a specialist in back in his country. Whose business is it? You are here, so what is it? You don't come, and relax. So the guy interviewing asked, okay, what was the motivation? He said, here, they will give my children citizenship. Sorry, did we not give him citizenship in Abuja? Sorry. No, please. Somebody asked me, did we not give him citizenship in Abuja? I'm sorry to say, look, don't do things that will make your children smoke Igbo. It's not good. Because one of my friends, he traveled, was it to Germany? Oh, no. So we said, well, you have not been talking this class. He said, guys, I'm inhaling so much smoke Igbo. He said, I don't want to talk because I'm high. He said, I think I'm high. So if I talk in this class, you guys will wonder what's happening to me. What is all of this? God bless you so much. And you sell everything because they will give your citizenship. Let me just tell these people who don't know. There's no way. Okay, number not the way. Most countries in this world, apart from places like Saudi, and because they don't want new citizens, and Switzerland, almost every other country, including America, is for sale. I hope you know that. It's for sale. Citizenship is for sale. They sell it. Even the Roman time, they were selling. I look at this man and I say, what? Who did this to you? Somebody must have done this to you. Yes. No, this is not that. I look and say, do you realize what you have just said? Let me tell you something here. When fear holds you, you will become the most irrational human being and you think you are reasonable. After this story, it reminded us again, of course, not the new thing, Ejibo. 2002? Eh? 2002, you were there that time in Lagos. When the bomb blast started in Ikeja cantonment, was a mistake. So the ordnance started going up, exploding. For those of you who don't know, Ikeja cantonment is in Ikeja, Maryland side, that place in Lagos. Inside the barracks, where the bomb was going off, I think two people died. I don't know how many went deaf, but two people died. All the way down to Bani Koro, if you know Ikorodu Road well, windows were shattering. Nobody died. Ejigbo, 1,000 people died. They were at least 20 kilometers. I don't know how far is Ejigbo from Ikeja? 20 kilometers away. Imagine to take not more than two people inside the barracks near the bomb explosion. What I remember well is one. But I just said two. Yeah, no, please, can Google it up. The nurse is still there. Over 1,000 died.
Why? Irrational action. Say, they have come. Oh. Somebody just shouted, they have come. The other people didn't ask, who has come? Come to where? They're like, wow. Of course, the bombs were going off. One bomb after the other. Nobody could. Yes, this is our current president. He was Lagos governor that time. Three of them, him, the head of the Kaja Cantonment, the general in charge there, and that person, they had to come on air and be begging people to please calm down, that there's no problem, there's an accident in the barracks. Yet 1,000 people, over 1,000 died in Ejigbo because somebody said they have come. They started running up and down, mostly young people. They ran into the swamps and drowned. Fear is terrible. That's how people are drowning away from their destiny. But remember, God has given you a word. Hang on his word and your destiny will manifest. Let's look at those scriptures. Everybody, Psalm 23. That's the first Psalm. Please, note all these scriptures. Note all these scriptures. Your future is bright. God will take care of you. That's what he promised. He will take care of you. Amen. Thus says the Lord, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. Amen. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
Amen.
Note that. That's Isaiah 66 verse 12. Let me say it again by the Spirit of God. I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river.
Amen.
And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
Amen.
Please hold on to that. Brethren, you know the truth? Some of the things, when I was coming to Enugu, when they were trying to scare me, that was one core scripture I held. Two of them, the other one's not a scripture, just a story. I said, Joseph was not an Egyptian. When they say, you're going to amongst Igbos, you know you're a Yoruba person. I said, hey, might as well tell Joseph, you are going amongst Egyptians, you know you're a Jew. When they got there, what was he? Their prime minister. I'm not even a prime minister, I'm just ordinary. Do you follow my point? Just preacher. Joseph, Jews, you couldn't use that to threaten him. God took him into Egypt and made him a ruler. That's the scripture. Those are the things. I said, but Joseph was not Egyptian. And let me tell you the truth. I've been blessed in this place. I've been blessed. The kind of honor where I did see. I saw one of my former students yesterday. First, they said, how's your wife? I said, you used to talk about your wife in class. So I showed her the photo. He said, that's her. Good evening, sir. I said, that's how I go everywhere. The good evening. God bless you, sir. Hey, well done, sir. It's all over the place. One lady saw my friend in Lagos. Say, your friend is now a powerful minister in Enugu. It's honor. No, the Lord has blessed me. Where people told me that they discriminate, what? Unless you want to die by fire, that is why you discriminate against me. I'm a blessed man. The scripture was, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Now that is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Psalm 23. Everybody open to, which version do we use? We're going to read together. See, it's the same old scripture. God says, hold it. We have to read the whole thing. Choose one scripture. Which version do we use? Man of God. NASB. Okay, let's use NASB. Please, everybody read it now. You are writing this about next year. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You are writing this about the year after.
Amen.
You are writing this about the next 10 years.
Amen.
For the next 20 years, you do work in your life.
Amen.
For the next 30 years, it will work in your life.
Amen.
It will set your course for the next 50 years.
Amen.
All the days of your life, this scripture will speak for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, let's read it like you believe. You want to? Let's go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, listen, verse 4, read it clearly. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please meditate on this for the next 2 minutes. Writing the script for this next year, for the next 10 years, for the next 20 years, for all the days of your life going from now, fear will not overcome this scripture. He said this scripture shines in the darkness, and darkness did not overcome it. Darkness could not even understand it. So he said, I shall not want. I shall not want. Please read in my tract, I shall not want. There's a tract out there. Please take this tract and read it. I shall not want. I shall not want. Why won't I want? Because the Lord is my shepherd. He's leading me. He's one leading me. Fear will not lead me. You need to say that. Fear will not lead me. Verse 4 says, fear will not lead me. You say, I fear no evil. Fear no evil. Fear will not lead me. Why won't I fear any evil? Because the rod of God and the staff of the Lord, they comfort me. Yes. Everywhere I go, even when there are enemies, he prepares a table before me, not in the ignorance of my enemies. I've been telling you that doctrine they are propagating now, we reject it. I'm not afraid of my enemies. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Write that script. Write it. Write it. Listen to the word of the Lord again. And you are going to say amen to this. In Psalm 37, David said, I was young. Now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging bread. Now let me say this. I've been teaching about this for some time now. I should say it again today. David was not saying, because we know righteousness is by faith. Not only to Abraham was it written, but for all those who will believe like Abraham, that by faith he was justified. What do you mean? Abraham heard the word of God and he obeyed. And it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. Anyone that obeys what God is saying is the one that's counted righteous. And what was he saying here? He said, I've been young. Now I'm old. I've never seen anybody stake his life on the promise of God. And he will be poor. And he will not be able to eat. And the children will be begging bread. David said, I've never seen it. People think it means that anybody who's doing right. He didn't say that. There are those who are very righteous, especially in their own eyes, but they disobey God because of their own fears. You won't know. He applies for visa and tells the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You think that's a righteous man. But God says, what are you doing here? He starts a business. He doesn't cheat anybody. But God says, this boy, I did not call him to do business. I called him to teach. Either physically, secular materials and inspire young people, or scripture. That's the job I gave him. He has gone to do business. Why? He's afraid. Yet, you think he's a righteous person. He doesn't cheat anybody. If he says he's A, it is A. If he says this is 5 kilograms of rice, it is 5.01. He will even err on the side of caution. So many people saw people like that, and they are forsaken. The enemies overwhelm them, because the fact that you are right the fact that you are right is when enemies will come against you. So that you are doing right doesn't mean everybody will support you. Yet, listen to this. If that person had been doing what he was doing, because thus says the Lord, this is the destiny of God for his life. The Bible says that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. No, whatever is righteously done. No. It is that, is this born of God? I've told the story many times. Demons shall carry and said he was doing badly in that grain speculation business. When he went to pray and said, God help me. God said, what are you doing here? Who sent you? God said, Papa God, we need to just quickly multiply, do some things. God said, that's not the job I gave you. He said, God, please get me out of it. God said, don't worry. The Lord woke somebody up, said, go and buy that useless business that boy is doing. That one bought it, and God blessed it. Yeah. That bad business prospered in that guy's hand, but it failed in Demon Shakarian's hand. Why? What are you doing here? Thus says the Lord.
There is nobody that hopefully waits for me that will ever be put to shame.
Amen.
Thus says the Lord. Nobody that hopefully waits for me will ever be put to shame.
Amen.
I say it to you one more time. If you hopefully wait for the Lord, you will never be put to shame.
Amen.
You know, these children you are afraid for, they will become captains of industries.
Amen.
You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Yes. See, there are things that God does, not because he needs to do them, but sometimes he just does them to make a point. Yeah, you just take. So this gen, they said that, your friends are saying that it's better to go and educate him abroad because that is the future. But say, wait, see, everybody that said it, they will apply for work before this year, boy. Because just, do I need to do it? No, but I just want to make a point. And he won't need, he will be very rich, but he won't need the money. He will give out 99% of the money he's earning because he doesn't need it. Why are you giving it to him? I'm God. I do the way I like it. That's how I like it. I just want to make a point. Let me say to you again, no one who hopefully waits for him will ever be put to shame.
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord concerning you. You will never be forsaken.
Amen.
And your children will not beg for bread.
Amen.
He said, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river.
Amen.
And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
Amen.
Let's open our Bible. Let's read. You know what Jesus said that time? He said, when I sent you out, do you lack anything? Everybody say after me, I won't lack anything.
I will obey him,
and I will not lack anything. Say it again.
I will obey him.
I know I won't lack anything.
One
more time.
I will obey him,
and I know I won't lack anything. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now we are going to together read from verse 8 and read all the way to verse 11. Are you there? Okay, let's read NIV. There's a reason why. I just scanned NIV now. I like the way it is in NIV. Are you there? Now, we're going to stop in 11 at the word occasion. Because Paul was personalizing something after. I just want to stop in the word occasion. Is that okay? Now, are you in verse 8? NIV. Yeah, you have switched to NIV. Ah, those days, eh? Damn it. Did you have that Bible? That has four versions. When I hold your smartphone now. Some of you have downloaded like 55 versions. Let me just warn you, don't download that number of versions. You won't know which one to read. I normally just restrict to a few. Or are you there? NIV. 1, 2, let's go. And God is able to bless you. Wait, sorry. Just to make it easy, because we don't have too much time. Let's quickly personalize it. Instead of saying you say me. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. 1, 2, let's go. For God is able to bless me abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that I need, I will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase my store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of my righteousness. I will be enriched in every way so that I can be generous on every occasion. Let's stop in that occasion. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Now we're going to read. No, this time I'll give you 1 minute. Read it to yourself. Write a script for yourself. Write a script for your children. Write a script for your future. Write a script that you will not be afraid. Why will you not be afraid? It is simple. Because God is able to bless me abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, I will have all that I need, and I will abound in every good work. Because it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. I am not afraid, that's why I can freely scatter my gifts to the poor. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also multiply and increase my store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of my righteousness. I will be enriched in every way, so that I can be generous on every occasion in the name of Jesus Christ. This is a security for my future. This scripture is a security. Is a security. This is a security. Now, I want you to listen to this. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's do more of that when you get home. But let me quickly read this to you.
Thus says the Lord. Now, literally, thus says the Lord. The Lord Jesus is the one talking here. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
look at what he said. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He said, and how much more valuable you are than the birds. Everybody say after me, I am more valuable than the birds.
I am more valuable than the birds.
Say it again.
I am more valuable than the birds.
Brethren, you have said it twice. Say it five more times. I need seven.
I am more valuable than the birds. I am more valuable than the birds.
Three to go.
I am more valuable than the birds.
Two more. I am more valuable than the birds. The last one. Now look to the Father and say, Lord, I am more valuable than the birds. You take care of them, you will much more take care of me. You will much more take care of me. Say it, he will much more take care of me. I am more valuable than the birds. Oh, soul, believe this. Talk to yourself this time around. Say, you are more valuable than the birds. Soul, you are more valuable than the birds. Why are you afraid, oh my soul, when you are more valuable than the birds? Why are you afraid, oh my soul, when you are more valuable than the birds? I am more valuable than the birds. God is taking care of them. So why won't he take care of me? No, it's just a matter of faith. Say, Lord, my faith is in you. My faith is not in Nigeria. My faith is not in America. My faith is not in Canada. My faith is not in any company. My faith is in you. My faith is not in my brethren. They are good people. I love them. My faith is not in my family. I love them. I will take care of them. I will do what I can to bless them. But my faith is not in them. My faith is not in my friends. My faith is not in the economy. My faith is in you. You are my shield, my exceedingly great reward. And you need to call God that name. You are my shield. My shield. My shield. My shield. You are my shield. Be more valuable than the birds. I say to you, God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things, and you will abound to every good work in the name of Jesus Christ. I say it again, God will make prosperity flow towards you like the river.
Amen.
And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
Amen.
Thus says the Lord. God will supply all your needs.
Amen.
According to his riches in glory.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I say it again, God will supply all your needs.
Amen.
According to his riches in glory.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The Spirit of God says there's no need to be afraid. See, those fears, they will not come to pass.
Amen.
See, the fears of the people concerning you, they will not come to pass.
Amen.
I prayed a prayer long ago. Let me extend it into your life. You know what that prayer was? I said, Lord, let it never happen that somebody will look at me and say, we want him.
Amen.
No. It's a prayer. I remember praying it. Because, you know, this conversation, we had it so much that time. How useless the future is. How the country is, how you need to get out. And even if you're not concerned about yourself, what about your children? I went to him and prayed. I said, Father God, I'm asking you to do this for me. That it will never happen that somebody will look and say, but we want him that time. What would they say? Like one of my classmates said that time, you were wise. It shall be said concerning you that you were wise.
Amen.
I said, it shall be said concerning you that you were wise.
Amen.
This is my prayer for you. It will never happen. That as you obey the Lord and rest in faith, that one day somebody will come and say to you, we want you. No. Nobody who doubted your God will be able to say, where is he now?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But his glory will arise upon you.
Amen.
Yes, I say his glory will arise upon you.
Amen.
God will lift you and put you on a candlestick.
Amen.
People will look at you and tell their children, follow that man, follow that woman. He knows what he's doing. She knows what she's doing. In the name of Jesus Christ. Take a moment and give the Lord thanks as we close this evening. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you for this word. Just thank you. Lord, thank you. For my faith is in you. My confidence is in you. Say, Lord, my faith is in you. My confidence is in you. My faith is in you. And my confidence is in you.